Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mr. Horowitz.
What a maneuver that was!
Yuckity-yuck, McMannequin.
The British Bulldog is part of the new generation.
You may all bow before King Mabel!
Here comes the jackknife!
On lives the new generation and the World Wrestling Federation!
Welcome, everyone, to the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review as the other Cultaholic lads recover from the ethically fresh crown jewel. We are here via our Ica Pro Power DeLorean, somewhere whilst ethically fresh is fresh in no other department. We are talking about Monday Night Raw from the mid-90s. Who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio Tom Campbell, with the mulligan to my O'Hare. Only Jackkins, innit, from Cultaholic.com.
Hiya, Tom.
Did you have a nice week off?
Yeah, I did, you know, yeah.
What did you do?
Well, I'm going to ignore everything good that happened and tell you.
That's always a good start. Grumpy Jackkins.
In the most Merseyside thing of all time, I was back home for less than 48 hours. And in that time, I saw Jimmy Corkhill walking the streets of Liverpool.
National treasure, Jimmy Corkhill.
I turned to Sian, I was like, Sian's Jimmy Corkhill? And she was like, what's he doing in H&M? And I was like,
for those off of America, who's Jimmy Corkhill?
So America, our American friends may know of cultural institutions over here, such as Coronation Street and EastEnders. In the 80s and 90s, there was a soap opera set in Liverpool called Brookside. And it was berserk at the best of times. And the main character was Jimmy Corkhill. He was this weird kind of, he just wandered around, kind of like the people's poet.
Yeah.
Taking lots of drugs and being very strange.
Wasn't there a story in Brookside where somebody had killed a lot of people and the bodies were under the patio?
Yeah.
That was in there, wasn't there? Did a plane crash into Brookside?
No, it was Emmerdale.
That's Emmerdale, isn't it?
Yeah. There was an armed siege in Brookside.
Armed siege. I remember there was an armed siege in Brookie. Brookside was... And then it just sort of... It ended when everyone just moved away.
Yeah.
And they sort of, the street became derelict.
Yeah.
It's the saddest end.
It was...
A very Merseyside end.
It was, actually.
Thatcher! It was Thatcher's fault! So you saw Jimmy Corkhill. Just, so what was he doing? Where was he going?
He was just in H&M.
Amazing!
I was buying some candles.
Did you say hello, Jimmy Corkhill? Nice to see you.
No, I just kind of went, oh, there's Jimmy.
Do you never say hello to people like that for fame?
No.
The have a fame.
No.
One of the very few times I've been in Liverpool, I had a little celebrity sighting, right? He's no longer with us now. But I was on the way back from a pub in Liverpool and standing outside the casino having a cigarette, David Guest.
I was once having an argument on my phone outside a club and I had to break midway because I was like, oh, hang on, David Guest just turned up with a prostitute.
No way! Oh my God! What if it was the same night?
Possibly. He just used to walk up and down the street saying hello to all the bouncers.
Oh, that's amazing. I said to him, are you having a good night, David? And he went, I'm having a wonderful night.
What a guy.
Like, I'd say, that's David Guest. Just chilling. What a man. So he visits Liverpool quite a bit then.
He used to.
Well, he did.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's dead now.
But. Yeah, I'm not sure what it was. Obviously, he was doing some promoting for some old soul acts.
So himself.
Basically, yeah. But he still used to concert promote. But I think there was just something about Liverpool that he was just like, I've got to walk around with a big fur coat and just not give a shit.
There's something deeply, wonderfully ironic about the fact that the last tour he was promoting was the David Guest is Not Dead tour. And he died.
as the tour was getting underway.
Prophetic, isn't it?
It is a bit. It is. I think that's how I'd want to go. Like the I'm Still Standing tour. He died halfway through.
I was going to say, I do have a correction to make as well, talking Merseyside news.
Oh, a correction and clarification. Mm-hmm.
I've heard from my good friend Timo.
Okay.
And
so Tim. Okay, so yeah. we told a great story last week about Timo.
He said, I've just got around to listening to the podcast. It was great fun. But I'd like you to clarify, it was 43 chicken nuggets that he ate, and he went into the challenge with the shits. I can't have my name dragged through the mud. So.
No, his feet apparently that day.
So there you go, Timo.
Well, do you know what? Surely going in with the shits, would that not help progress?
You'd think.
You'd think it'd be more of a system.
Yeah.
The body would be working in your favour, you know, making room.
Should have left it there, Timo. Now you just got excuses.
I can't wait for more Timo anecdotes to appear on the Classic Raw Review. I think that's why people want to listen to a podcast about mid-1995 to hear what Timo has been doing.
Yeah.
I want more Timo anecdotes, please. But so you had a nice week back in the motherland.
I did. How was your week without me?
Missed you loads. Yeah. It was very quiet in the office. It was only slightly offensive, more so than normal.
Good.
Well, I don't know why we've started photoshopping Aiden's head onto dictators from history. I'm not quite sure why that's a thing that's become a thing.
See, I'm not there for a week and it turns into totalitarianism.
It's kind of how we do, isn't it? It's kind of how we do. I'm glad that we're doing this today because I believe you are especially grumpy.
Yeah.
Yay!
The fucking Metro.
Not the newspaper.
No, not the newspaper. The train system in the Northeast.
What's your issue with the time in Weir Metro?
Today I usually start at 8, but with things that are going on, it was like, oh, I'm coming at 9 instead. I was like, okay. So I thought, right, I'll...
By things going on, like, we're doing late coverage for, like, Crown Jewel, so a lot of people are working a bit later than normal, aren't they? Yeah. Well, on the day of recording, that's why some people are in later than normal.
I wasn't sure if we were going to show how the sausage is made, so yeah.
Always get my sausage out for this, oof. It's fine, yeah. We're recording this hours before Crown Jewel.
So because there was no Dynamite last night, I didn't have to come in early to do the recap. So I thought, I'll come in at 9.
It's been a very weird week for sort of, like, because a lot of jobs that we'd normally do... Like, either the shows aren't on, or they've been done, or, like, I kind of got to... I had, like, half an hour for this, so I went, I've got nothing to do until 1 o'clock. I'm just going to make work for myself. Do you need
Crown Jewel, innit?
Crown Jewel day, innit?
Need to go into overdrive.
Ethically special Crown Jewel.
So I thought I'd have a lie-in this morning, but my cat Louis decided not to let me by standing on my face.
So
I was like,
your cat.
I was like, oh, Louis, come on. He's been better recently.
have we talked to him? Have we talked about Louis on the podcast? I don't think we have.
I don't think we have. he's a gorgeous cat.
He is a lovely cat, Louis.
He's a ragdoll cat, though, and as a pedigree cat, he's definitely been inbred. So he doesn't have a clue what's going on. And he doesn't meow, he just goes...
Your word, this is from a few weeks ago. You came in, you said, I woke up, the cat was screaming.
He was? We've got two cats. There's Poppy, who just chirps and speaks to you. She goes,
a normal cat.
Yeah. She just sleeps there, no fuss. And then you got Louis, he just like stands there looking shell shocked, screaming. But he's been better recently, but still woke me up.
The one morning when you said you woke up early, because. He was shouting. He was making himself sick.
He was?
Just going, Louis's amazing.
I just stand there now looking at him, just going, you're your own worst enemy. Stop it.
I love the idea of this cat screaming, sick running down his face, and you just going, the fuck you doing?
He's a knobhead. I love him, but he's a fucking knobhead.
I love Louis. Oh.
So he woke me up this morning, but I was in a good mood. Like,
how did he wake you up this morning?
He was lying on the bed, he was all right, but then he got up and he stood on my face. So in my sleep, I Honda palm strike him in the face.
Poor bastard.
And I felt sorry for him. I was like, oh, sorry, mate. It's just because you stood on my face and woke me up. I didn't know what was going on. And then I left the house at 8:05 for the metro.
Yeah.
And the fucker didn't turn up. So I had to get it from the other side and go around the houses, and it didn't turn up. And then I missed my stop. And then I was about 40 minutes late.
So you had to, because if you miss the one, then you have got, there's like an elongated route on the metro that you take.
And annoyingly, they said, like, came over the Tannoy. I know that's the brand name, but still. It came over the
public address system.
It came over the public address system.
Public address system.
It was just like, oh yeah, there's no trains. Get the number one bus. I've never had to get the bus from mine. I don't know where the fuck it stops. I don't know where I'm getting it to. I was just like, that's no help.
What an adventure.
Yeah, so... and then I remembered what episode of Raw we were talking about, and I was like, oh, for fuck's...
Oh, you know what? We'll get into it. This is this episode... I don't think in the years that we've done the classic Raw review, we've covered an episode that is almost... Is this an exaggeration? Morally bankrupt... As this particular one. I don't think we have. I'm excited for it. So what's going to happen is I'm going to talk you through this week's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before that, our boy Jackins from Coldaholic.com has combed through the internet and the notes from Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer to see what was happening in the wrestling world this week.
Well, actually, before we even do that, we need your tidbits from this... This week in 95?
Well, I would be if I haven't got them.
He hasn't got them.
I haven't prepped them. So let's pretend that I did them, and let's go over to Jack, and they'll be back next week.
Yeah, so, yeah, oh, that is my favourite movie. I'm glad that was number one.
Oh, mate, same.
Yeah.
I knew I'd forgot something. Sat there for half an hour like a lemon, going, I've got nothing to do.
Again, it was... Last week's podcast, I was listening back to it thinking, fuck me, I just churned on all the stuff from Dave. There's only four stories this week, but the first one is a chunky one.
Oh, bring on the chunky boy.
So it's
bring
not,
on the chungus.
It's not the most interesting, but it is important. So bear with me, listeners and viewers.
Sounds like most of the post that I get, especially the one that says final demand.
Dear Mr. Campbell, no. So Vince McMahon recently in... October 1995. This is from the newsletter dated October the 9th. Vince McMahon announced at a meeting of all WWF wrestlers prior to In Your House 3 that Bill Watts would be taking a larger share of responsibility for the creative end of the wrestling. Mm. The meeting was described as anti-WCW oriented. McMahon was mainly talking about the Monday night head-to-head, telling wrestlers the WWF isn't interested in running live shows weekly, and that this season they would adopt a Melrose Place attitude towards the taped Raw segments by teasing at the end of each show highlights of next week's episode.
Yeah, they started doing that, and it's interesting that they now bring that up in meetings, because I've never seen them do that before or since.
No.
Interesting approach.
It shatters the illusion that it's... organic, doesn't it?
Yeah, but then, like, I can, you know what, if you remove yourself from the product, from what you're selling, I kind of see the merit in it.
Yeah.
If you've got a really hot bit from the match, like there's a bit which they use on this one to promote the main event, then it's a good idea. But then that's if you've got a particularly hot bit.
Yeah.
If you haven't, then there's no point.
Where am I?
I've lost your place now, sorry about
that. That's all right, it's all right. But yeah, no, I do agree with you in terms of... But that's why we've got the internet now. They will, you know, release a couple of crumbs or a couple of tidbits.
True.
So it was just the 90s equivalent. So in this meeting, Vinnie Mac said he would be spending more time in his role as a corporative executive and that Watts would take over many of his duties when it came to creative aspects. Bullshit. Although Watts gained a horrible reputation after his tenure with WCW a few years removed, up until this point there had been no discontent amongst WWF wrestlers, at least to any major degree, about Watts since he'd arrived. Creative changes would include a more soap opera-ish look to the television shows, and major pushes for a black babyface, brackets in this case Ahmed Johnson, and possibly another title reign for Bret Hart.
Hang on, a push for black wrestlers, i.e. a title push for Bret Hart.
Yeah, just...
I imagine they're not connected.
No.
Dave Meltzer sometimes writes as jazz happens.
Yeah. He just heard Pink and Black Attack and thought, oh, right, yeah, so... McMahon blasted WCW. Remember, kids, they're not competition properly at this point.
No.
He said that the going on Monday nights with Nitro, it wasn't good business. They could have put their show on a Wednesday or a Thursday and had the night to themselves. But they showed that it's more important to them to hit the Raw ratings than draw big numbers themselves. And Watts himself was prophetic, saying he blamed his largely unsuccessful tenure in WCW on the corporate structure, which he didn't understand wrestling, and said with the Time Warner merger, Turner would become a minority partner in the business, give him as much say-so in the janitor, and he would not be surprised to see TBS drop wrestling altogether.
Talking bollocks, Bill.
So, yeah. But do you know Cowboy Bill Watts?
Hey, why don't you tell me that off the top rope? Oh, wait, we can't do them anymore!
Yeah. Cowboys, 1995. Yeah, we'll never work.
So you're over the top rope for a DQ, mate. So... what a weird rule.
A discussion led to what would happen if WCW were to go out of business, and McMahon gave the impression he didn't care for the talent. He's particularly negative towards Hulk Hogan, but he did say he did have positive comments about Sting, Brian Pillman, and Harlem Heat.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, it would take a good couple of decades, but
yeah,
all of those would come to fruition, with the exception of Stevie Ray. Well, sorry, mate. Sorry, Stevie.
I'll always love the slapjack. But yeah, that's...
clip that bit. Take it out of context.
Take it. Run with it. Run with it. Send Do what
it to,
you want.
Send it to Stevie Ray.
Yeah. He'd love it.
He'd love a slapjack. Okay. So, but there's a lot to digest there, but really, really interesting. Bill Watts coming in as somebody to run the business. Vince will never release the business end, truly. No. I think, obviously, and it's funny how Vince doesn't see AEW as a threat, like, a year on.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, we're just, like, 2-3 weeks into Nitro, and Vince has gone, right, they're fucking idiots, I hate them.
I always think it's weird that Vince hates wrestling, but during the steroid trials, like, Jerry Jarrett was running the show, and now he's got Bill Watts in, so he must have some stock and some merit in that way.
I can't help but think it's a decision that Vince hasn't made. Rather, somebody around Vince has said, we've got this guy to do it, and Vince has gone, okay, pal, sure.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few times where Vince has let the veil slip that he's not completely, like, overseeing every aspect of it. On the SmackDown review, we did this the other week, where... Raven's now on WWF television, and Vince apparently walked into a meeting having seen him backstage and just went, who the fuck hired Raven? So, which suggests that Vince might not be completely on over all things at this point. And the Bill Watts line about, hey, they'll get rid of wrestling from TBS soon enough. It'll take some time, but give it 5 years.
It'll happen.
Give it half a decade and we'll get there.
A couple of other sprinkles of wrestle news. The Akira Hokuto and Kensuke Sasaki got married, which is, it's one of my favorite wrestling stories ever. They only properly met at the Collision in Korea shows. They got engaged on their first date and married a month later.
Oh, they're like Mad About You, the sitcom, but in the Japanese wrestling world.
But X-rated, because apparently the night they decided they were into each other, their shagging was so loud it woke up the entire hotel, and apparently the police were called. Get in there.
Good lads.
They're still married today, and that's the best thing about
it. Still shagging really loud.
Yeah.
Good. I love that. Yeah. I love that a lot. Happy birthday. Happy anniversary. Happy wedding day. Covering all bases. Happy birthday.
Wrestle and Romance, WAR, they folded.
No!
To be replaced by Wrestle Association R, War.
Oh, that's fine then.
Dr. Luther and Chris Jericho are set for their first tour.
Whoa, look at that. Isn't that funny?
And last piece this week. This is in Dave Meltzer's words.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Funk. His plans right now are not to wrestle, with the exception of doing 1 week for IWA in Japan for the rest of the year so he can rest up. At the age of 51, he's talking about this being the time to finally give it up.
Forever. 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 Never.
He'd wrestle for ECW in November.
Forever! Forever! Oh, Terry. So those are the notes for this week.
Yeah.
Some nice things. I like that. Let's head over to this week's episode of Monday Night Raw. The results are in, by the way, for last week's head-to-head.
Go on.
Raw versus Nitro. Raw pulling in. This was the pre-taped Raw that pulled a 1.9. Is it pre-taped last week?
No, it was live last week.
Live Raw last week, 1.9.
Mm.
Nitro, 2.7. So Nitro picking up another win there. What so they bounce back and forth.
What happened on Nitro last week?
I haven't watched the next Nitro yet.
Sausage being made.
But we do know that we're going to have a promo from Hogan, and we are building to Halloween Havoc 1995.
Ooh.
Machine versus machine.
Oh, no, really?
Yes. And next week we have got, I remember because we talked about it, we've got Randy Savage versus Lex Luger.
Oh.
And Lex Luger's WCW World title shot is on the line.
Yeah.
And if Luger loses, then he is out of the company.
Ooh.
He's gone forever. So that's what's happening on Nitro. That's probably why, you know, they'll do all right from that.
Yeah.
And the ratings, the other bit of ratings news, a good night for WWF on Fox. They aired two matches from WrestleMania in a relatively primetime position on the weekend, drew 3.8 million.
Jesus, not
there you
bad.
Go. Just making money from old rope.
Yeah.
Just chuck out some old WrestleMania matches. Happy days. We had a Superstars taping just the other day, which has got a few tidbits from that as we get into Raw. Goldust has made a few more appearances. So we've had Goldust appearing on house shows, and he's been generally getting cheered because they did house shows in Florida. It's like Dusty Rhodes country.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, it's not what we want. But he's getting the right reaction on television, on Superstars. He's been using the heart punch with a loaded glove as a finish.
Ooh.
I don't know if that'll make it all the way. But he's beat Savio Vega on Superstars.
Yeah.
So, and they really got behind Savio. So that's a nice little nod.
Yeah, definitely.
It's either a nod for Goldust or a demotion for Savio. The Blues Brothers gave their notice at the Superstars tapings.
Thank fuck.
So they're, so they're away. We're down a team. we also saw Waylon Mercy and Diesel have a match for Superstars in which Waylon Mercy won by countout.
Well.
So Diesel's happy to lose by countout to Mercy, but not PCO. Fuck him. You lose to Mercy, though. You lose to Dan Spivey. So,
Waylon Mercy was like, oh, I'll do the job anyway, but not the Everglades, no.
So that was Superstars the other week in Indiana. Meanwhile, Monday Night Raw this week, Vince and Jerry Lawler are ringside. We forgo the Raw intro, no theme music, nothing, straight in. And I feel like things like that are WWF reacting to WCW. Like, we've got to get into the action as quick as we can. And we do. 1-2-3 Kid versus Razor Ramon, third time round. They recap Razor and Kid's history from 1993 to their recent match and their shenanigans with Dean Douglas. Jerry Lawler apparently has the intel that Dean Douglas is around, and Ted DiBiase has been chatting to the 1-2-3 Kid backstage. So that's hinted at here. Let's crack on with the match. Ramon and Kid are going back and forth. Dean Douglas heads ringside. He makes a couple of notes and then leaves. So he's nearby. Mysterious. Kid's got a bit of a heel edge to him in this. Did you pick this up?
Yeah, he was working. If you wanted to frame him as a babyface, he was determined. If you want to frame him as a heel, he was aggressive.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. He was, you know, 99% of the crowd would have said he was aggressive
because
they were very pro-Razor, this crowd. The finish comes out of nowhere, or so we think, as Kid misses a spinning wheel kick and Ramon lands a lariat of all things for the three.
Yeah.
And to the point where I went, oh, is somebody buggered up there?
Like, yeah.
That seems like a weird, sudden finish. So what then happens is Kid gets back up moments later. After the three's gone down, the music's played, the hand's been raised. Kid slaps Razor Ramon, and they just begin what Vince calls the match after the match. They just start the match again. No conversation, no agreement, nothing over the ring announcer's microphone. The ref just starts reffing again. We go to a break, and we come back, and they're just wrestling like nothing happened.
It was very bizarre, this.
Really weird. So during the break, we find out that Razor Ramon caught 1-2-3 Kid with a powerbomb off the top, got another three count, okay? But then Kid gets back up, and they start. This is the equivalent of, you know, when you're a kid?
Yeah.
And you're playing Warzone. You're playing Wars, not Warzone for the PS1. Like you're playing army soldiers or something in the playground, and you got the one kid that's got the fake gun. And he's going, and you're going, it didn't hit me. It didn't hit me. It didn't hit me. That's what's happening here. Because kid keeps getting up, and the match just keeps restarting. Razor hits a back superplex, goes for the Razor's edge, and kid's done. Kid's paggard. He's barely like in position for the Razor's edge, and Ramon decides, because Vince is there going, you're going to kill him. I don't think you'd kill him.
No.
But Ramon instead decides to pick him up, stand him upright, and then do a small package and gets the 1-2-3. And then the match seems to end proper. Ref Hat raises the hand of Ramon. Razor helps the 1-2-3 kid up, who goes for a schoolboy. 2.5. Razor kicks out and goes, nearly. Kid, beaten now mentally, insists that Razor Ramon hit him with the Razor's edge. And kick me to death with your kind boots. And Mr. Fancy Man. And then Ramon just says, look, I'll just give you a handshake. And they're all friends at the end. Uh-huh. Jackins, what the fuck?
I fucking hated this.
What's going on?
It didn't make any sense.
It's so weird.
What were the crowd thinking? Because they were just like, right, okay, Tim White's calling the action. It was the fact that it just kept going. I was like, okay, this is strange. But like you said, after the music had played and everything, and he went for a schoolboy, and Tim White's counting it. It's like, do your fucking job. Yeah. Where's Gorilla Monsoon? Get some Law and Order. This was really, really annoyed me, this, because it was
I
just
know Vince
strange.
Hates wrestling, but like, give us some semblance of rules.
Yeah.
If there was if this was like, okay, the only way you get away with this nowadays, if it was for the 24/7 title or the hardcore title, you could do all that bollocks. But this was just a regular match.
Yeah.
Where it was just like the pins went down, but then they carried on. Had there been an announcement over the tannoy?
Yeah.
Had it like they, because like this isn't the first time they've done that whole, hey, the match is over, let's restart. But you get the heel on the mic or the babyface on the mic going, all right, hey, I'll give you another go. Let's do it again. And then you carry it on. But no communication to the crowd outside of Vince going, well, I guess the match is happening again.
Well, after the first fall, I've got here on my notes, it was like after the first fall, the big clothesline, kids slapped him and they started wrestling. And I just put, was this a fucked finish? I thought at first that it was just like, oh shit, he's not kicked out. Because Vince always says about his refs, call the action as if it was a real match.
Yeah, I thought maybe they were, maybe they won't, but then they kept doing it.
Mm.
Which made me think this was the creative.
What did you think about this?
Baffled.
It was weird, wasn't it?
Really baffled.
If anyone at home is listening though, I the main note I've made of this, at the 4:59 mark, it sounded like there was either a frog or Jerry Lawler burped. So can someone please let us know? Don't bother watching the rest of the match because it's stupid.
I think
but
he
let
might have made a
that.
Noise with his mouth. I don't know.
like Melchior from Blackadder. He's Louis, he's my cat. My cat is Jerry Lawler.
What do we think, Louis? I love Louis. You bring Louis in, I'll bring Pablo in. They can have a play date while we do the classic.
Oh, Pablo would kick the shit out of him.
I don't know if Pablo would. I think Pablo... mind you, we think Pablo might be... Because we've toyed the idea of getting another cat. Because we worry, like, is Pablo lonely on his own all day? Alex thinks he might be. I don't think he gives a fuck. Because, like, when... If I'm awake in the morning... Like, he'll come wake me up in the morning because he's hungry. And then if I come in the afternoon, he'll be stood by the door. But as soon as I walk through the door, he's off.
Yeah.
And he'll sit there, look at me. When I go to give him some fuss, he'll walk off. He's one of them where he's just like, I'm not lonely and I don't want you to be around me. I just kind of want, I want you to want to give me some fuss. Yeah. I want you to want to give me some attention. I don't want the attention, but I just want you to always want to give me attention.
Well, that's...
Little prick.
That's why we got Louis, because we adopted Poppy, who was a little former street cat, much like Pablo, and we thought, oh, she must be lonely and bored. No, she was just thinking, I don't live on the street anymore. Warm, fume and bored.
This is it. This is what I think Pablo, like I said to Alex, like, you know, he used to freaking root through bins to get food. Like, he gets food delivered to him around the clock. Like, he's got access to food all the time. He gets, like, one of us is there for most of the day. Yeah. He's warm. He's got multiple places he can sleep and hide. Yeah. Like, he's great. And he likes being high up. He's got, like, we've got, like, shelves that nearly touch the ceiling. He loves climbing up there. Sitting over there like the king of all he purveys. Like, peasants. He loves it. He's got a lot of shit he can knock off the shelves as well and cause us mischief. We used to have some Lego Harry Potter stuff up there. We've had to take it down because he just keeps going, oh, that's nice. Fuck off.
Fuck you, Hedwig.
Fuck you, Hedwig. Where you go? Fuck you, Hedwig. He hates them, so we had to take them all down. But yeah, I think like Poppy, like he's just like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm happy. But since Alex has said, oh, I hope he's all right, I look for signs that he's miserable. Because there's a whole thing of like things to look for in your cat if they're sad. Like they're destructive, they're loud, they're needy. No, he's none of them. Like he's not destructive. Like he meows when you walk in. As he did announce himself last night, which was quite fun. As he walked into the living room, he went, meow, almost musically. And I was like, you get yourself a little fanfare as you walk in now. Yeah, little chicken. He loved it. Meow. Arrives King Pablo. I loved it. He announced himself as he came in and then did a big stretch like he was bowing to the world. God love him. He'd make a great entrance for a wrestler. Vince and Lawler run down the In Your House 4 card. Diesel, this is why you're here. If you're listening to this, this is free. Yeah. Right? This is free. You're not paying for this. Diesel and British Bulldog, Michaels and Dean Douglas, Undertaker and Mabel, and the debut on television of Goldust against Marty Jannetty. That is your In Your House 4 card.
Mm.
How are we feeling about In Your House 4?
It sounds all right. Goldust, Marty Jannetty is probably going to be a quiet banger.
Yeah, I think so. I think Marty will make Goldust look very, very good.
Yeah.
Not that Dustin Rhodes doesn't need to look good. I think he's a sound performer, but it's obviously a new character.
Yeah.
You want to get over that. That thing, I'm looking forward to watching it. We will do a watch along for that when we get there. We'll watch it. Yeah, we'll do a soundtrack for it.
We'll try and talk more about the wrestling this time as opposed
will
to...
Will we bollocks? Will we bollocks? Most messages I got about our watch along was, just enjoyed listening to you lads having a chat. I know two people that listened to it without watching along. One bloke said, I just had a long train journey and I just had you guys on. I wasn't watching the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Just like, it's like I was sat with you. I was there. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's a service. Barry Horowitz takes on Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Barry has theme music now. He's won some matches. He's a real boy. He has a 90s version of Hava Nagila, which is the Jewish national anthem. And it's like a proper like 90s bop in it.
Yeah.
Hava Nagila, by the way, composed in 1918 to celebrate British victory over the Ottomans. You're welcome.
Yeah.
The crowd are chanting Barry as well.
Yeah, I was laughing at that.
Barry, Barry, Barry. I love the name Barry. Brilliant. I want more stars called Barry, Vince, you coward. Barry's got a lot going on at the moment. He's got music. He's got custom taunts.
Yeah.
Celebrating the victory over the Ottomans. Crowd love him. Right. This is, you know what, when you see these things, you think, is this a promotion for this guy or is this a demotion for that guy? Barry Horowitz on the Superstar tapings is teaming with Hakushi.
Mm.
They formed a team that beat Skip and Rad Radford, who are also becoming a team. The Rad Radford thing will change, but certainly there will be a Body Donna's team very soon. They've also started airing comedy segments in Bunny Rabbit Ears, where Horowitz attempts to teach Hakushi about America, with Hakushi doing the whole, I don't understand anything in this part of the world. What's this, cutlery? I don't know. Christ. It did similar things. Jim Cornette, apparently, according to Dave, did similar things in 1990 to try and turn the great Muta baby face. It's just, and do you know what really, really, like, it's the whole, like, East versus West Odd Couples tag team. They did it in NXT this year.
Yeah.
And they had Io Shirai and Zoe Stark going for sushi, but reversed with Zoe going, what's a sushi? Give me a hamburger. Christ. Uncultured hicks. There's a yo in every town in the United Kingdom now. Come on. At the very least, there's a yo. I like a yo. It's the McDonald's of the sushi world, admittedly. I like it. I just like the fun of it going around on a conveyor belt.
Oh, it's just, give me Wimpy any day, good old.
Give me a Wimpy, damn
good,
it.
Good old shit British chips, that's what I want. None of this foreign muck.
I'm big friends with, I ain't big friends with him. I really like him. We've tweeted a few times. I'm not big friends with him at all. I wish I was. Andy Bush from Absolute Radio.
Yes.
He is spending this week on a Wimpy pilgrimage.
Ooh.
He's visiting all the Wimpies in the region that he lives in. Because he hasn't been to a Wimpy, but there's quite a few near where he lives down south. And he's going to one every day this week.
There are none in the northeast. Before I moved up here, that was the first thing I checked.
There is one near to us. Ooh. The nearest one to us is in Huddersfield.
Mm.
There's a Wimpy in Huddersfield. And there's a Wimpy in Sheffield, I do believe. Sheffield? I think there's one in Sheffield. Definitely one in Huddersfield, though. I keep seeing it. And Alex's family live in Huddersfield, or live outside Huddersfield. And I just think I just want to make some time one day. And I just want to go. When my mate got married in Southampton, we stayed in a place up the road, and the name falls out of my head. But we stayed in this little quaint little townhouse hotel thing, and opposite us was a Wimpy.
Ooh.
So excited! Went there for breakfast the day after the wedding. I won't lie; I thought the Wimpy the day after the wedding was the best part of the weekend.
Of course, it was.
I won't say that though, Sam. In case you're listening, I was a big fan of the wedding.
But you, Sam, you know deep in your heart that. Wimpy conquers love, conquers
knows.
All.
Yeah. I told him on the day. I said, I'm so happy to be here. There's a Wimpy over the road from where we are. Did I put it in the speech? I might have put it in the speech. And about three bottles of wine down when I did the best man speech for Sam's wedding. I might have put it in the speech. This is the speech that I famously started with. I'd like to start with a quote from Ghostbusters. Oh my God, there are so many ghosts. What will we do? I met Sam in 1991. And that was how we went.
See, I've been...
Confusion.
I've been best man at two weddings.
Oh!
And at the first one, the speech went down so well that I was banned from doing a speech in the second.
So, what did you say?
Oh, what didn't I say?
Oh, my God. Was it like, oh, I remember when he got his winky out in front of the professor.
I caused a family rift that has not healed nearly 10 years later.
God! Yeah. That's amazing. That's a stunning work.
Yeah.
So, like, have they spoke to you since or not?
Oh, no, they have. It's the mother of the bride and the bride haven't spoken since.
Oh, my God. That's awful. That's the worst part.
Well, they felt it was coming anyway, and they just used my speech as an excuse.
I think, you know what, if your relationship is on such tenterhooks that... a line in a speech is what does it in, yeah. Then it's probably not the speech.
Yeah.
It's a lot, you know. Nobody, you know, you don't truly fall to pieces when, like, you when you burn your hand taking toast out of the toaster. It's the things that led up to that.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've had most of my meltdowns have come out of nowhere, but then I realize actually they've been bubbling away for a while. when I burn tea or something, it's just like that's when I get when I'm trying to cook tea and I get tea wrong. If I'm not very up here on the level, that's when it all comes out. I'll be just like just. I don't know why you're with me. Like, I don't know why you bother. It's just that. It's just weird how that happens. And I think that was that was the tipping point. Was the other speech better? Like, did you cause less damage with the other speech?
I wasn't allowed to do another speech.
You weren't allowed to do another one.
I was just there to sign and be the witness. And it was like, no speeches. And I was like, that's fine.
No talking ever. Anyway, Helmsy heads to the ring.
Yeah, there was a match, yeah?
Yeah, so mate, we're getting to the match in a second. But it's what we see... As future COO of WWE, Hunter Hearst Helmsley makes his way to the ring. That is the real talking point of this week's episode of Monday Night Raw. As Helmsley heads to the ring, these are my notes, we have something that has aged very badly. And it wasn't that good to begin with. WWF are running a poll with its fans to determine... If OJ Simpson is guilty of murder, you text in to say, is he guilty or not guilty? But don't worry, in case you're thinking, that's a bit morally bankrupt. All the proceeds from this phone-in will benefit the National Exchange Club Foundation for the Prevention of Child Abuse. I've then put in big letters, Christ, this is bad.
from The Observer.
Yay! You found the same thing I did. Go!
On Raw, they ran a poll about OJ's guilt or innocence, promising the proceeds to abuse children's foundations, which ended up as a major embarrassment. And WWF was hastily sending out apology letters to people from those foundations who apparently they never contacted in advance and were embarrassed to be getting money from a poll related to a double murder case, saying the idea came up last minute and WWF admitted in their haste they made a major mistake and took much heat for it.
Christ.
I've got written here, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yes, as well. Big letters, Jesus fucking Christ. Jesus fucking Christ in big letters there. Star, this is bad. Oh. Like, here's the thing. Someone had that idea, Vince.
Yeah.
Vince had that idea. A group of people went, yeah, great. Somebody else set up the phone line. Somebody else designed the graphic. Mm. And Kevin Dunn okayed it all. And it's like, this is, I get that Vince is desperate to make Monday Night Raw part of the zeitgeist. Yeah. I get it. This is his big thing. But come on. Why not just read a funny story out of the paper like normal? Is OJ guilty or not guilty? Text in. All the proceeds go to a charity to help kids that get beaten up. We haven't told them, but they're getting it. Christ.
The only good thing is this kind of sets up the foundation for one of mine and one of Effie's favourite matches ever.
It certainly does. It certainly does. Effie was on the podcast feed commentating for this match with me. We'll get to it. We'll get to it soon. A few months' time. Anyway, Barry versus Hunter. Helmsley dominates Barry with an armbar, some stomps, lovely vertical suplex. Mm-hmm. Harry? Horowitz fights Harry. Harry fights back. Uses a Patronus. You're a wizard, Harry.
Mr. Horowitz.
John! Barry Potter! Do with that what you will. Barry Potter and the pat on the back of doom. You're a wizard, Barry.
Oh. What?
You're a wizard, Barry. Barry Potter.
Oh, I'm gonna get you, Barry Potter. Put this wand right up your bum, bum.
Barry, my dear boy, Barry. Join me, my son, Barry.
Dying. Barry, you must make me drink all this water in this fountain.
Did you put your name on the goblet of the fire? Barry, did you put your... Barry, did you put your name on Monday Night Raw?
I've gone lightheaded.
Did you put your name on Monday Night Raw, Barry?
Barry, anyway, so Barry Potter facing... He's Barry Potter from now on.
Against Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
He fucking is. No one pushes like Gaston. No one like Gaston.
With his golden shovel, no one buries like Gaston.
Adam Cole's height, I am good at exaggerating. People are going to think this shit's written down. It's fucking not. We're just on one today. Barry Potter. Okay, right. So Lawler makes jokes about the OJ Simpson trial.
Of course he does.
Because he's freaking Jerry Lawler. 90 seconds later, Vince McMahon is talking about the Pope visiting America. 90 seconds later.
Not only is he visiting America, Vince McMahon has invited him to MSG.
With OJ Simpson. Vince is like, please let us be pop culture. Barry fires back. Barry gets a near fall off a Fez press and an abdominal stretch pin before Helmsley counters a back body drop into a pedigree for the win. It was a fun match. I forgot a little line here in which Horowitz pulls Helmsley into a sunset flip as Vince yells, get him over! Which Vince will be yelling to Rock, Mankind, and Steve Austin in 1999. So fun match, little match between Barry and Barry and Trips. Did you enjoy Barry and Trips?
My closing thoughts that I've got written down are just not bad. King and Vince can fuck off. But no, didn't mind this at all. You know, Barry looked all right. It's Barry Horowitz, and obviously,
Barry, do you know what? Like, you could do worse. I know we laugh about Barry Pop,
yeah,
but like, you could do worse. He's all right.
Barry Horowitz is more fondly remembered than some champions from this time.
Really, so is.
Yeah. And Helmsley looked great. That delayed vertical suplex was lovely, and it was a crisp pedigree. You know, it did its job. It's a good match.
Could you imagine Monday Night Raw if, like, there was a heel WWF champion and it was built around, like, 1 week Barry Horowitz getting a shot? We just watched the SmackDown last week of... it was a SmackDown. It was Kurt Angle giving a WWF championship match to Bubba Ray Dudley.
Ooh.
I know! And I remember that first time round. I was like, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Like, Bubba getting a title match, you know? And I like it when obscure people get random title matches. Like, I don't think it does the champ any harm. You know, like when Triple H faced Taka Michinoku on Raw in 2000. We've got that in a few years.
Didn't he once face Perry Saturn on Sunday Night Heat as well?
Oh, I don't know. I know he faced Maven on Sunday Night Heat.
Ooh.
There's some, but you know what? As you know, Triple H, we've got the reign of terror to come in many years' time.
Oh, yeah.
But in 2000, like when he put the belt on the line against Taka, I remember watching that Raw. And you know what? Fair play to him. They suspended my disbelief. There was a couple of moments in that match where I went, holy shit, they're going to put the belt on Taka.
Yeah.
Well, mad, isn't it?
It was around that time.
Light wrestling does that.
Especially with hindsight. Triple H was the IWC darling at the time. The internet loved him. And then a couple of years later, they were just like, oh, fuck this prick.
You either die a hero or live long enough to become Triple H in 2003.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Still to come on Raw, we then get the Melrose Place stuff. Footage of Brett versus Jean-Pierre Lafitte.
Yes.
They're not hiding the fact they're not live, and they're doubling down on it.
Yeah.
Which is, I think it's fine. The bit they show from the match is Bret Hart power slamming Lafitte into the steps, I believe.
I think it is, yeah.
It's quite an aggressive scene from Brett for this one.
Yeah.
Up next, tag team action. It's Al Brown and Sonny Rogers. Remember them? Nah. Versus PG-13.
Mm.
Now, this is sort of my lapsed time as a fan. And I knew PG-13, you know, JC Ice and Wolfie D, and sort of the rappers for the Nation of Domination coming live and in color, Don't Diss the Man or We'll Bum Rush Your Mother. but I forgot that they were for a brief time in a little dalliance in the tag division.
Yeah, but I was lapsed as well. And before starting this job and having to look, you know, at the weird and wonderful world of wrestling, I just always thought they were Nation of Domination's hype man. Because I remember them taking some vicious doomsday devices at the hands of the Legion of Doom.
Mm.
But aside from that, yeah, I never knew they were.
Do you want a few little factoids about PG-13?
Give me some factoids.
So USWA in the early 1990s, Jamie Dundee turned on his father, the legendary Bill Dundee. Mm. Became rapper JC Ice, kind of doing the opposite to what WWE does and taking a completely made-up name and dismissing his history after acknowledging it. Dundee formed a tag team as PG-13 with Kelly Wolf, now known as Wolfie D. They dominated the USWA tag division. 16 times they were USWA tag champs. I believe they were USWA tag champs on this show.
They were, yes.
They beat the likes of Brian Christopher and Jeff Jarrett for their first run, and then the Eliminators, Doug Gilbert and Tommy Rich, the Rock and Roll Express, a sort of makeshift team of Road Dogg and Tracy Smothers. Like, they've beat some people.
Yeah.
They lost lost a match at one point, and they were obliged to leave the USWA, and they returned under the masks of the Cyberpunks, to which they became champs again and went, aha, it was us all along. They've worked a few dark matches and impressed the right people to give them a TV match, and even had them calling out the Smoking Guns in a picture-in-picture as they're heading to the ring, which is a real sign of, like, that's a great, like, if it was just a match, that's still fine.
Yeah.
To acknowledge them as tag champs in another company, that's cool. To have them picture in picture calling out Smoking Guns, that's pretty cool.
I did like that Wolfie D in his southern drawl was like, we're from the hood. It's like, oh mate, bloody hell.
Do you know what would become of Wolfie D after his run in PG-13?
Hit me.
He would become Slash in the Disciples of Sin in OVW and then the New Church in TNA.
Oh.
I know you're a bit of a TNA boy.
Yeah.
And if you remember the New Church,
yeah,
he was Slash.
Oh, God.
Had a complete revamp. Completely looks like a different bloke.
Yeah.
Same guy. It's Wolfie D.
I'm Googling that when we get back.
Google it. I was shocked when I saw it. This is a showcase match for PG-13. They kind of semi-botch a heart attack. I'm being really pernickety there because, like, they come because Ice and D, that comes in a little bit behind on that. Al Brown gets a little flurry off a hot tag, shut down pretty much immediately with Wolfie hitting a top rope bulldog behind the ref's back, not his bag. They land a double dog, which is still a move in 2K games today, and they double team tilt-a-whirl for the win.
Yeah.
Short, sharp affair, getting over PG-13, getting over a new tag team.
I just put, dark match material, but it was okay.
I think it was very dark match material, but I think that they were just keen just to see how a television audience vibed with these two, with PG-13.
The only other tidbits I've got is I was looking for information on Sonny Rogers and Al Brown. Mm-hmm. There was nothing on Al Brown, although I did love Vince's call of, they can't put Al Brown down, which is you can tell he did a Horowitz and pat himself on the back.
I feel like they would have given Al Brown a push just based on that line alone.
But Sonny Rogers, who did Sonny Rogers train?
Ooh, go on.
Scrap Iron, Adam Pearce.
No way.
Apparently so.
Sonny Rogers trained Adam Pearce.
Yeah, Scrap Daddy himself.
I got very excited when I thought Scrap Daddy was going to get a run out at the Rumble.
Yeah.
Back in, it was this year, wasn't it? Where they signed, they had it, like the graphic made everything, Adam Pearce versus Roman Reigns at Royal Rumble 2021. And like everybody's like, Indie Boncon is going mental. Like, why is Adam, what is going on? And then he got out of it and they replaced him with Kevin Owens. Part of me was like, oh, I'd like to have seen Adam Pearce.
Was it
one more match?
Five-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion Adam Pearce.
ROH star,
yeah,
him and Roman, that'd have been fun, but I guess he's a bit older now, he's not that bothered.
Yeah.
We get a recap of the OJ Simpson voting. It's censored out on the network, which is just as well stop us from ringing in, I guess. They announced next week we've got a banger of a main event, Shawn Michaels, Diesel and The Undertaker versus Yokozuna, Owen Hart and the British Bulldog.
Nice.
That's an amazing main event.
Yeah,
big boys that is. We come to our main event of the evening though, which is Bret the Hitman Hart versus Jean-Pierre Lafitte. It's a rematch from the pay-per-view. Vince reminds us of Wembley Stadium, the night the Bulldog beat him at SummerSlam.
Yeah, this was weird.
I thought the same as you, sir. I thought this was an odd callback, and then I realised the method behind the madness.
It's just clicked on me as well,
mm.
If we're on the same page.
So Bulldog is getting a title shot.
Yeah.
At In Your House 4. So they're kind of floating the idea that, hey, if Bulldog wins the title, because Bret Hart is facing the winner of the title match at Survivor Series. Yeah. They've already announced that. So they're going, hey, we could get Bulldog Bret for the WWF title.
Ooh.
That's what they do. And also, any excuse to hoist some clips up of Wembley, because the company looks very impressive.
I'm fucked, Bret.
I have to use this juncture to talk about something that came up on the SmackDown review again. I think I mentioned it in the office. You definitely hear we mentioned it, how on the SmackDown review this week, Davey Boy Smith's fallen out with the Hart family big style in real life, IRL. Davey Boy Smith has said to the Sentinel, the newspaper in Canada, that the 20 years he spent in the Hart family were the worst 20 years he's ever had. To which Bret Hart rebutted in the Calgary Sun. If it wasn't for the Hart family, Bulldog would still be in the Wigan Mines.
Hear that, Aiden? That's why Bret Hart is the best ever.
He pulled him out of the mines. It's like a canary, isn't he, Bret? I just like the idea of, like, the Bulldog being in the Wigan Mines. Bret Hart going, come be a wrestler, hey.
What are they mining for? Bread rolls and chips? Like... It's like Ken Dodd's Diddy Men in the Jam Butty Mines.
John! John! Bulldog in the Jam Butty Mines. Bulldog in the Jam Mines with the Diddy Men. Please do. Tag The Undertaker in it. My mission's always, I want John and The Undertaker to be friends. So I always encourage John, if he does like something for wrestling, just tag The Undertaker in it without any context.
Yeah.
Just in the on the occasion, like, say Undertaker's there in Saudi Arabia, just sort of scrolling through his phone.
What the hell? Who's John Eiley? He'll be my best friend from now on.
That's the dream. That is the dream. So we have a main event. It's Bret Hart and Jean-Pierre Lafitte. Lafitte has Bret's number until Bret dodges a corner splash and Lafitte goes crashing to the outside. Mm. Bret shows aggression by slamming Pierre into the steel steps. And it's not aggression, it's determination.
It is.
Based on the Jatkin scale. Pierre is on the comeback after launching Bret into the ropes slingshot style. It looked nice, that dude.
Yeah.
Jerry's delighted. When Pierre is in charge, standing up and applauding him on occasion. Why are we getting Bret and Lawler teased again?
It's the feud that will never die.
It'll never die. We just keep getting these two over and over like a monkey with a miniature cymbal. There's a repetition really within you. Beautiful splash by Lafitte slows it all down. Pierre's in charge, keeping it slow. Bret counters a cannonball with a gouges superplex to turn the tide, mm-hmm. locking in a sharpshooter for the tap out win. This was, I don't think this was as good as their pay-per-view match,
no.
But I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
Pacey little telly match.
It's Bret Hart, isn't it?
Bret Hart, yeah, we're a fan of the Bret Hart, aren't we?
Of course we are.
Post-match, Bret and Lawler get into another slagging match. This ends up with Jerry taking his top off, challenging Bret to a fight like he's outside a pub at 11 p.m.
Bret, you bastard, I'll fight you!
I'll fight you! That's what he looked like. Lawler just became that guy outside the gun.
Grandmaster Sexy Lad, hold me burger. Fucking get it, Bret.
I like how he's calling his son Grandmaster Sexy. Bit weird you calling me that, Dad. One, it's not been invented yet, and two, you couldn't call your son Sexy. Be weird for you to call underage people. Anyway, Jerry Lawler, delighted by the arrival of Isaac Yankem DDS. Yeah. DDS hits a DDS, not a DDT.
Nope.
That's called a DDS. Hits it on the floor to Bret and then leaves. During the break, Gorilla Monsoon apparently calls and books a steel cage match between Yankem and Hart for a few weeks' time. They advertise a steel cage match between Yankem and Bret Hart. Now, your brain would immediately know what a steel cage match is.
Yes.
It's not what we get.
Oh.
Which we'll see in weeks to come. Bill Watts, according to The Observer, is very much pushing for Bret to become the WWF champion in November. So yeah. I feel like, as you said at the very beginning, that there's a big push to get behind Bret here.
But saying that, though, as soon as Yankem hit the DDS on the mats, the crowd were chanting for Diesel. And I bet Brett was furious.
Vince delighted. Like, it's taken this long.
We need some diesel power here to help the hitman. That turns to Richard Nixon then. But, yeah.
So we nearly got Diesel versus Isaac Yankum.
I think I say we nearly got Diesel versus Richard Nixon.
I'll fight you, Diesel. I cannot tell a lie. You're not over.
Hey, well, there would nearly been Diesel versus Diesel. In years to come. Finally, we get promos from Camp Cornette, Michaels, Diesel and Undertaker, head of the six-man tag next week. Undertaker says, you think next week is going to be a party? We'll be the vultures scraping the carcasses. What fucking parties do you go to, mate?
I want an invite. If there's going to be Carrion and Viscera. Not Carrion Cross and Viscera. That'd be a shit party.
That'd be the best. John! A party with Undertaker, Karrion Kross and Viscera and cake and balloons.
I was going to go, you know, more down there. Oh, you know, like, ooh, saucy goth women, cannibalism, you know, cake.
No, Karrion Kross. In his weird gladiator get up.
Karrion Kross and Paul Bearer playing Pass the Parcel just between the two of them. Thanks. There you go. Oh, thank you.
What's the prize? An underwhelming push on Raw. Oh, thanks. You really didn't have to. The last thing we see, just so we get a fine conclusion to Monday Night Raw, is the poll. The results of the poll. Right. Is OJ Simpson guilty? Well, 49% say he is, and 51% say he isn't.
Ghouls.
Christ.
Ghouls.
So therefore, if we're judging it by recent standards, it's an overwhelming victory for not guilty. No need for a recount. The people have spoken. He's not guilty.
And as WWF Raw went off the air, Jerry Lawler said, go juice! Fuck off, Jerry Lawler.
Oh my God.
Mate. Come on.
Why is Jerry Lawler so keen to get OJ Simpson off the out of trouble?
I don't know. It's almost like Lawler himself has had some kind of legal implications for him.
What did we make of Raw?
I've got written here, everything was crap until Bret Hart. it's the fact that last week was so good when we had the tag title switch, we had Skip versus Jannetty, and this week, like, that bizarre opener, which I really didn't like, and then you had, you know, Triple H versus Horowitz, which was fine, you had PG-13, which was fine, and just all the OJ Simpson stuff, it was...
I think the OJ stuff left a bit of a sour taste in my face for most of the night. I mean, like, seeing PG-13 in there is like, it gives me a little bit of hope because I feel like WWE are trying to find some new talent. And yeah. I think through all this, on the whole, I think WWF have been more keen to scout new blood, it seems. Like, we're going to see them go to some retreads in time.
Yeah, a few.
But they will try some new things. And yeah. They'll do it in a very WWF way. Will it land? Well, we will continue to find out week by week on the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review. Have you got any nice articles going up on the website in the next few weeks to come? Are you working on any massive projects?
I'm working on the big project that I was talking about the other week. It still rolls on.
Is it bigger than ever? I'm excited.
It's not bigger than ever. I had a look. It is about a third the size of the WrestleMania list. So it's still going to be a couple of hours once it's all done.
That's exciting.
But I'm in the middle bit. I was saying to the lads yesterday, here's a little peek behind the curtain.
Behind the curtain.
When doing the ranked lists, it's... A lot of this is because there's people on YouTube saying you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. It's still opinion at the end of the day. But with the ranked lists, it's say if you're doing a list of 100 of whatever, the shittest 10 to 20 are easy to write about. The best 10 to 20 are easy to write about. The middle is a bastard because you're just like, it's much of a muchness. How do you put them there against that? So I'm in this current piece I'm doing, I'm in that middle fudge. And it's just a bit...
And it's just sort of determining the difference between three very middle-of-the-road people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Yeah.
That's the fun.
Yeah.
How exciting. Well, we can't find out what that is, but when we do, you'll know as well. And until we are next together to go back to the mid-90s, he is at Brat Atkins on Twitter. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter together. We are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. Barry Potter, you little shit. Love you, bye.
That was Snape meeting Barry Potter.
We have a celebrity in our midst.
Barry Horowitz.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.